So I've been looking forward to this time for a few months as we open the book of Joshua. So Joshua is a shortened version of Jehovah Shua, or the Lord is our salvation. Isn't that a great name? In the New Testament, it's Jesus. The Lord is is our salvation. So let's open God's word to Joshua chapter 1. Hear now the word of God. Now Joshua, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites and Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servants, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words, in all that you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. The grass withers, the flower falls, but God's word abides forever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do come before you. We thank you, Lord, for this great book as we are progressing from the time of Moses to the time of Joshua. And in it, we understand that this points to our greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, and also that we are encompassed with Jesus in this particular event, that we are part of the people of God, redeemed of the Lord, delivered and brought into the land of rest, which is Jesus. And so we ask, O Lord, that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, open our understanding, enable us to see, to enter in, and to see you most of all, and to hear what you would have us to learn We pray these things now for your glory's sake in Christ's name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I were to ask you, what do you fear? How would you respond? What do you fear? Now, some would say, I fear nothing. Is that true? Well, even with that, is fear always bad? And so, no. So that is an incorrect statement, irregardless. I fear everything. Are there people that are afraid of their own shadow? Are there people that are afraid of COVID? Won't leave the house? Are there people that are afraid? What are the, how many different phobias have they identified? Fears? You can just about be afraid of anything, right? How about, I struggle in my faith and sometimes I get overwhelmed. Is that fear is somehow related to unbelief? I don't trust God and so therefore I'm afraid. Can that be the cause? The answer is yeah. So like I asked earlier, is all fear sin? And the answer is no. The scripture says that the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. So there's a proper fear. Or we could say respect, but the word is fear. Or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is safe. Okay? So there's a proper fear and there's an improper fear. In our text this morning, did you pick up that Joshua, at least there was a temptation to fear? Did you catch that? Why does God say, and then the people of God say to Joshua, both, be strong and courageous, or be strong and brave. Do not fear. He says it right there in verse 9. Why? Because imagine what Joshua is facing, the task before him. We're going to be looking at that today. So the main point is there in the outline if you want to look at it. How do you handle fear in its many forms? As children of our Heavenly Father and as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we know that in ourselves we are unable to overcome. As a matter of fact, fear is, at least the sinful fear, is self-focused. I can't do this. You understand that? Godly fear is also, I can't do it, but God can. But we tend to focus on our inability to overcome. It is easy to become overwhelmed in the task set before us, but remember that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That's probably a good way to summarize the sermon. So we've been walking with Jesus from bondage to liberty. Remember, we've been working our way through Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And we've been focusing on, in particular, redemption from Egypt through Moses. And also the idea of walking in the wilderness and also the presence of God in amongst them and the tabernacle and all of that. We skipped over Leviticus, which is how do we live in the presence of a holy God. We skipped over Numbers, which has to do with testing, God testing his people, and they're failing miserably would be a good way to describe it. Or another way of saying that is sanctification. And we skipped over most of the book of Deuteronomy, which is basically second chance. One of the things that we didn't focus in on is when God sent in the 12 spies into the land. God had promised them the land. Moses sent up the 12 spies. The 12 came back and they said, the land is just like God said. It's fruitful. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. Look at these grapes. Took two guys to carry back these grapes.
But the 10 of the spies said what? We're scared to death. There's giants in the land. We can't do this. And cause the people of God to fear and to not enter in. But there were two spies. You remember the names of the two spies that came back and said, God is bigger than the boogeyman. They didn't say it that way, but they said, God is able to deliver us. Remember their names? Caleb and Joshua. And so God says, you two are the only ones of this generation that will enter into land. Everybody else, except for the kids, will not. And now we come to the next generation. All those kids are now adults. And there is Joshua. And that's how we enter into this book. First point, how great, how enormous is the task before us? Put yourself in Joshua's sandals. Just for our reference, let's think about who Joshua is as he's revealed in the Pentateuch, in the first five books. Number one, we meet Joshua as a soldier. He's sent out to fight against the Amalekites, those varmints. The Amalekites attack the rearmost parts, the most vulnerable part of Israel, the people of God. And God declares war with them. And remember, Moses is up on the hill and he's holding up the staff and his arms gets tired. And Aaron and Hur hold up his arms, make him sit down and hold. And when the staff is up, they win. And when the staff comes down, they lose. Well, it says that Joshua is the one that led the battle. He's the warrior. He's the general, if you would. So we meet Joshua as a soldier, as a general over those that fight. But then what we find in Exodus chapter 24 is that Joshua is Moses' assistant at the tabernacle and even on the mountain. No one was supposed to go up the mountain except for Moses. But we see Joshua there too. He's his servant. He's his assistant. And in a sense, he's holy. He is not involved with the golden calf incident. As a matter of fact, when he hears the worship or the celebrations going on in the camp, he misreads it and says, oh, there's a sound of war. And he says, no. Moses says, no, it's not war. They're partying. They're worshiping a false god. So Joshua is separated from that event. Thirdly, Joshua is a student. When the Spirit of God is given to 70 men, Joshua is the one that says, hey, wait a second, there's two guys in the camp and they're prophesying and they're not with the other 68 and we need to stop them. And Moses says, you're wrong. Joshua had to learn, didn't he? He was a student. Fourthly, I don't know if you knew this, but Joshua's name was not always Joshua. Did you know that? His name before Moses changed it was Hoshua. Hoshua is translated, he is salvation. Now his name means Jehovah is salvation, or the Lord is salvation. What's the change there? He is salvation is general. The Lord is salvation is specific. Catch that? And so Moses renames him. And one author says, according to that, the significance of that is Moses renames Hoshua from the tribe of Ephraim to Judah. Moses' act of renaming may be compared to God's actions in renaming two other people. Who else did God rename? Sorry? Abram. Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, and also Jacob to Israel. In such cases, a quality of the person's character or future role is discerned. Is this a confession of a special act of God's salvation of Joshua or a desire by Moses to affirm the salvation that the Lord gives to Israel? The question he raises, is it personal? Or is it a declaration so that when someone addressed him, they addressed him as the Lord is salvation, not Joshua. They said Joshua or Jehovah Shua, but it means something. Is the book of Joshua about the Lord of salvation?
Yeah.
The Lord saves?
Yeah.
The Lord keeps his promises? Like we said, he was one that went out as one of the 12 spies, and by faith he believed and gave a good report. And then we find that Joshua was designated as Moses' successor. And if you'll turn with me for just a moment to Deuteronomy chapter 31. As Moses, let's go to verse 1. And then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel, and he said, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and their land when he destroyed them. The Lord will give them over to you, that you may do to them according to every commandment that I commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Does that sound familiar? Do we hear those same words here in our text this morning? And the answer is yes. So the commissioning of Joshua, but you notice first, God speaks to the people of God and said, be strong and courageous. Do not fear. I will be with you. And then he says to Joshua, do not fear. Be strong and courageous. And what happens in our text here when God speaks to Joshua? Be strong and very brave. Very courageous. Why? Because of the temptation to be afraid. Because the task before you is immense. Can you imagine? The most difficult thing for Joshua is Moses is gone. Says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Yeah. You've been playing second fiddle to Moses for 40 years. For 40 years, you could just lean on Moses because he's the leader. He's this great man. And all you have to do is obey him. Yes, sir, I do it, and you're responsible. And now Moses is gone. And now they're in the land is before them. There's the Jordan River. How are we going to cross that river? How are we going to get the people across? The Canaanites are in cities. How are we going to do this? I'm responsible to do this? Are you kidding me? Imagine, put yourself in his sandals. Would you be afraid? Would you be tempted to be afraid? I would be. Or to be dismayed, to be overwhelmed? I would be. Also, as we think about this book, one of the things that sometimes we forget is who was the original audience? Who were the recipients of the book of Joshua? They were the ones that actually were now in the land. So we're kind of skipping forward to the book time of the judges. In the time of the judges, they're in the land. They have taken possession of their inheritance. But there are still Canaanites in the land. There are still enemies of God that are going to corrupt them if they don't do what God commands, which is what? Which is shocking in our age. Exterminate them. Because God's judgment had fallen. How are we going to handle this? We're up in the hill country. The Philistines down there, they have chariots and they have iron swords, and we got plowshares and pruning hooks and at all. We don't even have, at one point in time, we don't even have any blacksmiths because the Philistines wouldn't let us. We can't even make weapons. How are we supposed to dispossess them? The task is enormous. We can't do it. Well, the book of Joshua is a message to them. What about us? What about you? Do you face challenges? Do you face things that you're afraid of? Do you struggle as you look at things both personally, in your family, work? What about as a nation? What about in this world? If you really want to get depressed or fearful, just go out and read what's happening in the world today. There's so much unrighteousness. There's so much deception. Who do we believe? Everybody seems to be a liar out there. What should you do? How should we respond? What does this text say to us? Again, that which is said four times, be strong and very brave, exceedingly brave. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So where's the focus? It's on the Lord and on his presence. As you walk through life, he's with you. Isn't that the message of what Joshua needed to hear? I'm actually jumping to the second point. How great is the grace of the presence of Christ? Look at verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, get up, go over this Jordan. Are you kidding me? This Jordan is right now flowing at the height of its of the season, when the Jordan is at its greatest, flood stage. Now get up and cross over that. No, if I cross over that, I'll be taken downstream and die. Okay, just think about that. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. So here we see the sovereign Lord and his gracious choice of Joshua. Was Joshua confused at times? The answer is yes. Was he weak? The answer was yes. As a matter of fact, again, as I read this text, the one thing that the scripture that comes into my mind is Timothy. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, what? Don't be timid. Don't be afraid. Why was Timothy afraid? Why is it that God says to Moses, to Joshua, don't be strong and courageous? Why? Because he was overwhelmed, I believe. Joshua, I chose you. And verses 3-5, I promised Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, your fathers. I promised Moses, and now I'm promising you. I will fulfill my promise. And that's what you are going to be doing. You're going to be an instrument through which I am going to keep my promise to my people. Notice in verses 6-9, the Lord's sovereign encouragement is through his word. You could actually say that whole passage there from verse 2 on, but there he speaks about the importance of meditating in his word. Notice also the grace that was not only to Joshua, but also to the people of God through Joshua. Notice as the people say, all that you say, Joshua, we'll do. What God tells you to do, we'll do. You listen to God, we'll listen to you. Joshua is a picture of Christ. Christ is the greater Joshua, isn't he? Was Jesus Christ chosen by God from the foundations of the earth to do the mission that God would send him to. Was Jesus Christ promised by the Father gifts or reward for what he would do? And the answer is yes. Was Jesus Christ encouraged by the Word of God to do? The answer is yes. Does Jesus ever refer to the Bible? When he does something, he said, well, this is to fulfill what this is said right here. The answer is yes.
What about you? What about me? The grace of the presence of Christ is to us as we are identified as the people of God, but also as the army. Are you a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does Paul use that language when he speaks to the believer in Christ? Does he call us a soldier? Does he call Timothy a soldier? And he says, yeah, you're a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're part of the host. When you read in your Bible, the Lord of hosts, you know how it's found all over the place in the Bible? Translate that to the Lord of the armies. Who's the armies? We are the armies of God. What is Jesus referred to by the writer of Hebrews? He's the captain of our salvation, right? He's the general. He's the one that is leading the army. So we are his people. We are his army. As we see in the text, the people of God are preparing to go over. And what do? They look to Jesus, don't they? They hear and believe what God is saying to and through Joshua. Notice in verse 8, one of the ways that we're called to, not only Joshua, but we as well. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Stop and think about your fears. When you're fearful, what drives you to fear is this conversation going in your mind. It's too big. I'm too weak. I'm afraid. I can't do it. Oh my. I'm a victim. And I can keep going, right? There's this conversation. There's this agitation many times. It can go from a point and then expand out into a full-blown panic. You ever had a panic attack? Have you? If you haven't had one, just wait. You will. What is the solution? Well, the first solution is what? God is with me. How do I know that? Because he has said so in his word. What do I need to do? I need to meditate, right? I should meditate and put in my head those words of God so that when that fear start, whether it be the fiery dart of fear from the devil or whether coming from ourselves, when that comes up, what do? You have a war with yourself. Wait a second. That's not of God. This is what God says. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous because I am with you. Where's that? That's in the Bible. Get behind me, Satan. It is written. Did Jesus do that when he battled with the devil in his temptation? It is written. Boom. Can you do it? When you're tempted, whatever your besetting sin of fear is, have you memorized God's solution? Do you have it? Have you meditated on it? Is it available? Is that sword at hand so that when it comes, you can pull the sword out and say no? Okay? Hear, believe, meditate, hide it in your heart, and then do. Notice, this is the message that God gives to Joshua. Can you imagine how often Joshua would be tempted to fear as things? Does everything go right? If you know the book, does everything go right during this conquest? Do things go sideways? Do people die that don't need to die? Is he facing great cities? There's much difficulty, much to be fearful of. And so God equips by his presence and by his word. And now I'm actually racing into the third point. How great are the resources of the grace that Christ has given to us? The first resource, though, sometimes that we forget is his story. Now, history is his story. The Lord's past dealings, or I should say faithful dealings, with his people through the ages and with you. We live in an age now where they're trying to reinvent everything, especially history, aren't we? Trying to destroy any remembrance of what has happened in the past. Or, like, think of the statues. How many statues are being torn down? How there's an attempt to, what is the term that they use? We want the Great Reset. We want to change history. We're going to start over. This is no longer 2022. This is year zero. And we forget everything in the past. There's a movement right now to eliminate history. And the scary thing is, what's the old saying? They that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. One of the reasons why so much of the Bible, half of the Bible is history, is for us to be able to see and understand and take courage to be strong in his faithfulness. God is the same. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Right? Is that a resource that we can grab onto when we're fearful? That is primary resource, right? Well, God, this has never happened before. This, what I'm dealing with right now, I've never dealt with before. How do I handle it? Well, I am with you. I am with you. I am that I am. I am with you. Do you hear that? I'm not taken by surprise by what you're dealing with. As a matter of fact, I foreordain whatsoever comes to pass. However, whatever, I don't understand why, but you are working this together for the good. Take courage. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because I am faithful. Or another way of saying it is, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he will strengthen your heart. In Isaiah, when you read Isaiah chapter 40, as you shift into that glorious chapters 40 through 66, God references the past, and then he says, or actually in doing so, verse 28, have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary, his understanding is unsearchable? Get your eyes on the Lord. Get it off of whatever it is you're afraid of. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Actually, literally, they shall exchange their strength for his. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the one that you know. Well, I don't know him. Well, you don't know him? Read your Bible. Get to know him. It's there for you to learn who he is and how he is faithful to his word. And the second point, the second resource, is just that, his word. I think I've said this before, but if I haven't, I will. Have you ever considered this book as a personal revelation of God's love? Do you consider this book? God says, I love you. Let me show you how I love you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. How do you know that? Because he's revealed it in his word, and he's revealed it to you. This is a revelation of God's heart. This is a revelation of God's care for you. As we read earlier before the worship service, 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear, all fear, because fear has torment. Are you afraid? Do you know? Do you focus? Do you overcome that fear by the love of God, his care, his heart for you? Verses 10 through 18, which I haven't really gotten time to cover, God also gives us grace or a resource in his people. In other words, you are not alone. Was Joshua alone? Was he supposed to go in and conquer the land by himself? Was he supposed to be the champion that takes on every one of those inhabitants? And the answer is no. He was leading an army. He was leading the people of God. You are not alone. You are not forsaken. Yes, I am with you, but also, so are your brethren. The reason for Elijah's fear? Remember Elijah? Elijah just gets up and he proclaims the 450 prophets of Baal are destroyed. Great victory. And then Jezebel says, I'm going to get you. Right? And what does Elijah do? He's scared. He runs. He goes south. He keeps running until he gets out into the desert. And God has to intervene and provide for him food and drink and strengthen him so he can run some more. And then finally he gets out in the desert and God approaches him and says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Well, they're trying to kill me. I'm the only one left. And what does God say? No, Elijah. There are 7,000 Israel that have not bowed the knees to Baal. You're not alone. Was Elijah afraid because this woman threatened him? The answer was yes. And probably there was some validity to it. But what does God say? You're not alone. When we read the book of Hebrews and we come to chapter 11, the writer there says we are encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. Those that have gone before, those that have trusted, those that have by faith conquered kingdoms and so on. Is that same faith evident in you? Beloved, our calling is to love the brethren. Notice again in verse 16. Then they answered Joshua, all that you command us we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Can you imagine? Again, remember what we opened with. How does Joshua feel? Moses, my servant, is dead. Okay, now what do I do? I'm in charge. What am I supposed to do? What does the people of God do? Joshua will listen to you, as we have with Moses. We pray that the Lord be with you as he was with Moses. Furthermore, if we don't, look at verse 18, whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Pretty strong statement. They're saying, if we disobey you, then we are worthy of death, just like our forefathers were, right? They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and all died because they disobeyed Moses. So we will obey you, and if we don't, if someone doesn't, they will be put to death. Well, we find that in the book of Joshua. Well, there be a fellow named Achan who disobeys the command of God, and will he be put to death? And the answer is yes. So we will actually see that in this past, in this book today, or this as we go through it. So the brethren say to one another, or say to Joshua, we can apply it to us, be strong and of good courage. The Lord is with you, and so are we, in a sense, what they're saying. You're not alone, Moses. Joshua, you're not doing this alone. We're with you. We're behind you. We are the army of God. Is that comforting when struggling with fear? When you're struggling with your fears, do you go to another, call up a brother, a sister in Christ, and say, hey, I'm struggling right now. Please pray for me. Seek counsel. There's a book on my shelf. It's called Competent to Counsel, written by Jay Adams. And there it says that every Christian has a competency because they have this, to assist one another in the discipleship, which counseling is part of that. Do you humble yourself and seek counsel from one another? I know of a family, I'm thinking back years ago, that they waited until everything was in complete and total disarray and destruction before they would even say something to the pastor. By the time I heard about it, it was a nuclear fallout and trying to pick up the pieces. And when I asked them, well, why didn't you come to me earlier when we could have resolved that? Well, our pride, you know, we're afraid of what you thought of, how you would think about us. We were afraid to be vulnerable. So now, this child is dead, or this relationship is destroyed, or whatever. We need each other. God has created us that way. But the greatest resource of all is the Lord Himself. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I am with you forever. Isn't that the greatest resource that we have? Again, coming back to it, what is fear? Ultimately, fear is somehow related to me. So, I can't do it. Is that a good thing? Yeah, in one sense. If you run to Christ, if you just stand, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. I know of one pastor, I just was told this week that he's afraid of leaving his house. He's afraid to go into the pulpit. He's afraid to do his pastoral duties. He's afraid of COVID. And so he's now on medical leave. Congregation has voted to put him on medical leave because he's afraid. Is that, are there people that are afraid today of COVID and are paralyzed with that fear? Can you be paralyzed by fear? Can you be manipulated by fear? Can you be hindered by fear? And the answer is yeah. If you don't say yes, we can sit and talk about that, and I bet you we can find it. It's a temptation that we face. The solution there in our text today is the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it say? Just to close, what does it say? What does Paul write in the most beloved chapter in the Bible, Romans chapter 8? Who can separate us from the love of God, of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Are all those things that you could be afraid of? Think about that. Let me read it again. Can you be afraid of tribulation, persecution, distress, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Are those things that can agitate you and cause you to be fearful? And the answer is yes, all those things. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. That which I fear, those things will not be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Are you persuaded, as Paul is, that nothing can separate you? You can't even separate you. According, are you a created thing? Are you a created thing? Did God create you? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do come before you. We thank you, Lord, for your word to Joshua, through Joshua to the people of God, through the people of God to Joshua, and more importantly, to us. We thank you, Lord, that yes, the temptation for us is to be self-centered and to take upon ourselves things that we are not able to in ourselves, get overwhelmed, and fail. We know that we need your help. Sometimes we have to learn it the hard way. Teach us, O Lord. Enable us to meditate on you and your word. Hide it in our hearts. And be able to have that self-conversation. It is written, when those thoughts or those fiery darts of fear strike us. Enable us, O Lord, to take up the whole armor of God, especially the shield of faith, where it we are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Enable us, O Lord, to put on the whole armor of God, even our Lord Jesus Christ, as we battle daily in this overwhelming task before us. To make disciples of all nations. We pray, O Lord, that you would enable us to be those disciples, and in doing so, that we would be able to minister to others, to show the love of Christ. We thank you for your love toward us, and we pray that you would love through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.